Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to Feedback. It's 8 minutes after 8 o'clock, and I have to admit, I brought in a ringer this morning. I'm tired of Tom beating up on me every day.
Yeah, I beat up on you every day.
I'm tired of Tom beating up on me and making me look silly and being disrespectful.
So you brought somebody else in to do it.
I brought some muscle in today to help me on the conservative side. We have had a great phone conversation on many times with a guy that calls in. The audience knows him as Les. Everybody knows him. Most everybody knows you as Les, right?
Pretty much. Unless it's family, they call me Junior.
All right, get close up to the microphone, so everybody.
So family look pretty nasty. I don't know what Tom got on it, man.
All right, so
one of the few guys around here that hasn't been sick. So yeah, the microphone should be okay.
Well, you were coughing up a lung or something a couple 3 days ago, weren't you?
Mm.
No, just a little bit. You were saying something. You didn't feel good. That was before I left. Yes. The few days before I left on vacation, you were sneezing and hacking up stuff, and it's like, get away from me.
I felt that it was coming on, and I was trying to infect you, but unfortunately, I wasn't successful.
Yeah.
That's because Putin reject yogurt he was eating. Yeah.
And I won't let him kiss me. That's the thing that bothers him all the time. All right, so Les is in the studio with us. Les, you hail from Texas originally?
Originally, Northeast Texas.
All right. First of all, you know, I get the question every time somebody says, "Oh, well, you're not from around here, are you?" I'm like, "No." Where are you from? Florida. The look on their face is like, "What the heck is wrong with you? Why would you come from Florida, land of sunshine, orange juice, and you know, why would you come to the frozen tundra?" All right. What brought you to Wisconsin?
Basically, one of my older brothers was living in Rochester, Minnesota. Still does. My little brother, the youngest, graduated high school. He wanted to get into the theater business with my brother. So he did that, and he came, and he went to Minnesota. My brother taught him the ropes. So he moved him here to Wausau. And what's now what used to be the Grand Theater, now it's some other club, opens.
Right.
He was working there at the time.
Oh, you mean the old Wausau Theater, the Fillmore?
Right.
It was the Wausau Theater, and then it became the Fillmore, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, basically, after he got here, he rubbed another man's rhubarb, and he wasn't having it. So, my other brother ain't exactly.
That must be a Texas expression. You got to explain that one. Yeah. Rubbed another man's rhubarb.
My other brother's not exactly Thor when it comes to confrontation.
Uh-huh.
So, he thought he'd call me up and see what we could rectify. Well, I rectified the situation. But after I got here, man, I was here a few days. I was like, man, this is Mayberry. I know I'll live longer up here. You know what I mean?
Well.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and buy me some Carhartts and some Icemans, and I'm going to see what I can do. So, yeah, I've been here ever since. And it was a good move, man. I mean, I love Texas. I love where I'm from. But, you know, it's a testament to this area and the people around that I would much rather raise my boys here than the place I come from because – I mean, my boys have so much of their mother in them, you know, they love to a fault almost, that animal instinct. Now my oldest son's starting to get it. You know, my little boy takes Taekwondo. It's just not there. They couldn't survive in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
You damn near have to come out the womb ready to knuckle up. You know what I mean? Because you don't get that conflict.
If you think this is Mayberry now, you should have been here back in the 60s. Now we've got people who have lived here all their lives who say that crime is getting out of control in this area.
Oh, please.
Y'all don't know what crime is.
Yeah.
I knew you would laugh. Tell us the difference between crime here, because let's face it, there is a lot more drug crime here than there used to be.
Right.
But compared to where you're from.
Yeah, no, I had more action going on in my elementary school than y'all got going on the whole town.
So. Well, you know, you say that jokingly, but let me tell you something. This is absolutely true.
Oh, yeah.
The middle school that my wife worked at before we moved up here, there was a beef between a Hispanic kid and a black kid.
Oh, it's on.
That ended up, they got into a fight off campus.
Yeah.
and the black kid stabbed to death Hispanic kid.
You know,
and this is middle school, man.
It didn't matter, man. Where I grew up, you had metal detectors and liaison cops.
Yeah.
On every floor. You know, you walk through the metal detector, then they got the wand. You
know
what I mean? So you had to be on your P's and Q's. And as far as football games and stuff, you know, football games, basketball games, there was always people there. You know, there was security there. You didn't walk around like that.
See, this is the exact same thing. Now, I have not, and this is my fault. I have been remiss. I have not gone to a high school football game or any of the athletes. I will this coming season, obviously.
Merrill Blue Jays, I'm a coach. But, come on up there.
All right. Small plug.
The security is usually a couple of teachers or administrators in the stands with the student section.
Where I went to school, Lakeland High School, the stadium where the games are played is off campus. It is a place called Marchant Field, right? And they have a heavy, heavy presence of Lakeland Police Department. Heavy. You do not get searched coming in, but they are there in big presence. Dogs walking around, canine units. They are there.
I guess this is Mayberry.
See, this is the thing that we had a conversation not too long ago. When I got so riled up with people getting upset at me being so adamant about protecting my child, the environment here does not warrant my attitude. The environment here does not warrant me continually carrying a gun, not only carrying a gun, but with an extra magazine full of hollow points.
Exactly.
Because I know if it happens, I'm going to need it.
Yeah, and you know what?
That's the environment I'm from.
And it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
I agree with you. And so there's a lot of the crime in this area is not the same as it is in Southern Texas, Southern California, Southern Florida, et cetera.
Yeah. Not even comparable.
So that's part of what we're going to talk about. There's a specific subject that we did want to bring up. It's part of common sense. It's part of personal responsibility. But the next thing I want to get to, we're going to take our first break. The next thing I want to get to is, I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
You are a Texas-raised black man.
Absolutely.
You are black, correct?
Absolutely. That's what they tell me. I'm looking right now. A little cocoa, you know what I mean? But enough.
All right, so I got to ask you a question. We're going to answer this, so I want you to answer it when we get back. How is it you are a hardcore brass-knuckle conservative?
You know, what people don't realize is that Southern blacks really were, and still to this day, the black family are conservative, man, because, you know, God got them through a bunch of things, you know, when we first got here. But not only that, they knew the importance of the family. You know, we're going to stick together and we're going to do our thing. And you didn't have nonsense. My daddy would have slapped the taste out of my mouth if he'd have seen me walking around the house with my drawers hanging, showing him his belt. He'd have put that steel toe right in there and told me, go get the belt. And before you put it on, bring it back here because I got to tenderize them cheeks for you. You know what I mean?
All right, WSAU, this is Feedback. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
The Wisconsin Morning News to start your day. Feedback at 8. The biggest talkers. And did we mention baseball? There's only one station that delivers it all. Every day. AM 550. FM 99.9. WSAU.com.
Welcome back to Feedback. 715-845-2155 if you want to be a part of the show. Little Bird told me that this is one of your favorites.
Absolutely, man. Marvin Gaye, right. What's going on?
All right, so let's talk a little bit about your influence and to get an understanding. And I'm just going to jump into it and just say it. There's a lot of preconceived notions that if you're black in this country, then you're a liberal. And you love Obama, and you want the government to provide everything from womb to tomb. That is a preconceived notion. And if there's anybody out there say, "Oh no, that's not," then you're a liar. There's a lot of us that feel that that's what the black community is all about.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to be honest with you. One of the main reasons I am very, very interested in having you on the program is you break that preconceived stereotype.
Absolutely.
And so I got to ask you, why? What is it, and how do you, as a family-oriented, hardworking black man in America, how do you feel about, first of all, the stereotype that blacks predominantly are liberal and Obama loving and want the government to take everything. And why are you not in that mindset?
I learned real early on in life, knowledge is key. All right. And we all know that if you don't know your history and learn from it, you're destined to repeat it.
Yep.
My father worked in the East Texas oil field, worked his butt off, man. And when he'd come home, I mean, you're talking about 12, 16 hours a day. And when he'd come home, he was that tree shop mechanic, you know what I mean? So he would fix people's cars in the neighborhood, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of us in the house, man. You're talking about 13, 12 kids, you know, because a few of my older
I'm
brothers.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, altogether, it was 15 kids.
15 kids in your family?
Yeah.
You are one of 15?
Yeah, 9 brothers and 4 sisters. And, you know, well, 5 of one died very early, a couple of them died. But,
gotcha.
You know, my father, you know, with that many kids in the house, and some of them had already gone, you know, to college and got out of the house, but you're still talking kids with double digits. My father, with all that, you know, we still had to have a little assistance, you know, but it embarrassed my father mm-hmm. that, you know, with all the work he was doing, his wife had to spend food stamps. Consequently, that barrel, you know, that kind of translated over into me. You know, my father would not take a dime from anybody. If he could breathe, if he could walk, if
right.
he could do anything, he worked, man.
Right.
You know, because number one, he knew that what he got, nobody could take away from him.
Right.
And number two, he knew that he was giving his sons and his daughters the values that were going to take them through society. You know, sometimes, you know, you look around and you see people, it's almost a stigma right now that some people feel like they're owed something, like this government owes them something. You know what I mean? And they all want to relate back. You know, we were done this way and we were done that way. You know mm-hmm. what? That don't matter. You know what I mean? And, you know, like I told you once, I got these cousins. They'll say, man, they would have had to kill me in the 1600s, 1700s. I'd never be a slave. I'd never be a slave. And like I told you, I've taken my wife and my family down to Houston. And so, you know, we're driving on the south side, so you see the ghettos and everything. And I'm waving at a few cousins, letting them know, hey, I'll be
right.
back. And we go to my father's apartment. And my wife's like, this is beautiful. You know, you go in, and he told me the code. So we go in this gated community, man. And they're projects, but they're nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is just flabbergasted. She was like, well, look how nice this is and how great this is, and they're all protected, and they don't have to worry about the crime. So I said, Beth, you're seeing it the wrong way. She said, how do you see it? I said, let's go in here and talk to my father. He'll want me to go to the fish market. We'll go. We'll do some other prisoner, and when I come back, you'll see what I mean.
Right.
So we come back, and it's about 7:30, almost 8, and we're getting in, and there's a security guard there at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, y'all made it. I didn't know if y'all was going to make it. And Beth said, what does she mean? I said, Beth, when they get in here, they have a curfew. They can't come out at 9. She said, but that's all right because look at the stores and stuff right there. I said, yeah. But you know what? They got a post office inside these gates. They have a small grocery store inside this gates, and they have pools, accommodations, and everything. I said, they're slaves because they can't pay this apartment rent without their government check.
Right.
They can't go out and do anything, try to make any contacts or anything, because now they have government-issued phones. They're not trying to keep people out. I see it as trying to keep people in.
So for their own safety, you're saying the people in the gated community do not venture outside of the gates for their own safety. And it basically, they are now being held prisoner with inside the walls of their own home.
It's institutionalized slavery, man. When somebody gotcha. Doesn't have the incentive or the desire to go out and work because you're getting everything provided to you, you won't mm-hmm. do that. I could never see myself like that because you are a slave.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to shut down the government and say, okay, you know, we're going to give out necessary things. So let's say they just give you your food stamp money and your WIC money for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to give you anything else right now. So how are you going to pay rent?
Mm-hmm.
Government says shuts down 60, 69 days, 70 days. Or you had 30 days leniency. Now we're kicking you out on the streets. Now what do you got?
Right.
You don't have any skills. You don't have a job.
And there's a distinct difference between getting a hand up.
And getting a hand out.
And that get a hand out. When you're down on your luck, you said your father, there were times when you needed assistance.
Absolutely.
A lot of kids, a lot of family.
Right.
There's some things that sometimes not all the ends meet. There's a difference in occasionally needing some help and some assistance and becoming used to that way of life and accepting it. Your father also, you said also your father had, there was shame. There was embarrassment in being on the government roll.
Yeah.
And an incentive to get off of it as quickly as possible.
Absolutely.
And what, and let me know if this is accurate. We, as if I may coin or if I may use the phrase, white folk.
Right on. Yeah, right on, right on.
Yeah. We see it as a circumstance of like, you know what, doggone it, a lot of black people are just used to, and not just blacks, I don't want to, but
right.
Because you are a black man,
right,
you
right.
still are black, right? You haven't changed?
No,
okay,
I'm
good.
Good, I'm good.
All right, but there's all the Hispanic, Asian, that's all, you can say it about any, but because I'm getting your perspective, I'm using that as an example. Become used to, and there is, they feel that there is no shame, but like you said before, there's a sense of entitlement. You know, America screwed my family over a generation or three back,
yeah.
So therefore, the government owes me my welfare check, my WIC, food stamps, and this and that, and the housing allowance. You owe me.
Yeah.
How do you see that the population of entitlement is growing or diminishing?
Well, I mean, you'd have to be just with your head in the sand or living under a rock to know that we're actually giving out more money in the government now that we're taking in. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
That's because you one reason for that is the people that think they're entitled, of course, they're not going to work. They're going to have a couple of kids. They're going to say, okay, I need this, this, and this.
Right.
And the other aspect is we just don't have enough jobs, man. You know, you would actually have to be pretty stupid to think that with the amount of Social Security that we're giving out and so much of our population for the first time ever is not working to replace that, to replenish that, then we have nothing, man. You know, so I don't want to put it like some of the other candidates have, you know, but I will say this. If we don't find a smarter way to, first of all, invigorate our youth to want to work
mm-hmm.
and to try to retrain the people that are out of work to let them know, hey, man, the best way for you to do what you want to do is get up, get out, and get something. I'll help you do that.
Right.
Be it through a trade school, a tech college, putting workshops back in high schools even
mm-hmm.
To prepare you for this. Because, you know, if you can't do it for yourself, sooner or later the money's going to run out of the government. Obviously, yeah. The way we're doing things right now, they ain't going to even be able to pay themselves.
You know, and you've got a very good point. And unfortunately, we're going to have to go to break because we've already reached the bottom of the hour. It went by very, very fast. Mike Rowe got a lot of flack because he came out. You remember Mike Rowe, did the Ford commercials, has the TV show.
Oh, Mike
show,
Rowe, yeah.
Okay. He came out and said, listen, there is not a shortage of jobs.
No.
In the labor industry, working on the docks, working in factories,
yeah.
working in warehouses and so forth, there are jobs waiting. There are hundreds of thousands of jobs waiting. The people aren't going in and getting it. And one of the contributing factors is we are putting a lot of pressure on the youth to say, you have to go to college,
yeah.
and therefore you have to have a collegiate-style type of career. That's not, there is no stigma. There is no stigma with busting your ass every day for a living.
If you paid me to take a toothbrush and clean the tiles out in a bathroom and you gonna pay me, I'm
yeah.
gonna do that. Kids think they're entitled to stuff right now. You ain't entitled to nothing. I tell my son all the time, you three things by law. Food, shelter, and clothing. Everything else is a plus, homeboy.
That's exactly right. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. Les, thanks for stopping by. Don't go anywhere. I want you to hang out through the rest of the show and see how it's running. If you've got time.
I got plenty of time.
All right, WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. Hold tight. We're going to do some news, and we'll give you the latest updates on everything that you need to know. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. This is Feedback.
Central Wisconsin's news talk and weather station. AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.